call to order the Education Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Today is Thursday, May 15th, 2003, and we'll be in work session today on House Bill 5047, which is the State Board of Psychologists Examiners, and House Bill 5026, which is the bill for the health-related occupational licensing boards, and we'll be specifically dealing with the Board of Dentistry and the State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. Before I open the work session, I would like to have Mr. Bender go over the next couple of weeks' schedule with us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, members. You have distributed in front of you this morning a little calendar that shows the planned schedule for the next 2 weeks in the subcommittee. And if I can just ask you to look at that for a minute, I'd like to point out a couple things, bring a couple things to your attention. Next week, which is the week of May 19th, you are scheduled to wrap up your other funds budgets in this subcommittee. Those are the health licensing office and the health-related licensing board bills. And you can see the schedule there starting with radiology. It's basically similar to what you have been doing, two small boards a day where the boards are small and where the budgets are slightly larger, such as on Tuesday, the health licensing office. There would only be one scheduled there. Finally, a wrap-up with the final action to move House Bill 5026 that has the various health-related licensing boards to full committee. That is scheduled for Thursday, though you may actually be able to do that on Wednesday. The week after that, which is the week of May 26th, you'll note there's no meeting scheduled on the 26th. That is Memorial Day, and it has been declared an in-service day in both the House and the Senate, so there will be no committee meetings anywhere in the building that day. Then beginning the day after the Memorial Day weekend will be the start of the general fund budgets. The first thing we have scheduled is the Department of Higher Ed, the operations budget, and we do expect that to go all week. You'll notice this is a fairly peculiar looking schedule. You see there's no meeting on Thursday, though there is a meeting scheduled on Friday. Please note that in general, we are expecting the subcommittee to be meeting on Fridays starting from May 30th on. So the four-day scheduling of the subcommittee will be ending after next week.
And do you have a time? Are we scheduled for the regular time that we're meeting?
As of now, we'll let you know if there's an alternative time, but as of now, it would be at 8:30 on Friday. It may end up being immediately after full Ways and Means Committee meeting, since the full committee normally does meet on Friday. The reason, one comment about that unusual looking schedule for higher ed, the reason why there's that gap with no meeting on Thursday and then meeting on Friday is we are anticipating that you will have a number of directions to the agency as well as perhaps some budget report or budget note language. And we're scheduling it in this way so that the agency will have time to prepare responses to what you've asked for on Thursday. We're giving them the day off to do that. And then you would come back on Friday to be sure that the agency's understanding of your directions is accurate, and then hopefully be able to take final action on that budget on Friday. On the 2 weeks after that that are not shown on this calendar, the plan is to schedule the remaining general fund budgets. So those would be, for example, OHSU, community colleges, state school fund, ODE operations, and also the state library.
And members, in relation to the schedule, we are on an extremely aggressive schedule, and I would ask you to be prepared to change your schedules on short notice and to put a lot of time into these issues, and to please set aside the time to become familiar with the budget materials when they come your way, and again to refer back to the memo that the co-chairs gave us last week. And Representative March, did you get a copy of that?
I don't believe so.
Mr. Bender, could you make a note that Representative March needs a copy of the memos that the co-chairs handed out in the full subcommittee?
Absolutely.
That issues related to the budget need to be brought to the subcommittee chairs before the work sessions so that they can be properly addressed during the work sessions.
Thank you.
So this is when the rubber meets the road here in the subcommittee venue, and we're going to be putting in a lot of hours from here on out. Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Gore.
Pardon me. I would just like to say how much I appreciate the way that you and co-chairs have worked with me on several budget notes. The process feels like it's really collaborative and moving along. Thank you.
I appreciate your willingness to work with us, Senator Corley. I have, and I will continue to run this committee as a very collaborative group of people.
I don't want to leave out our LFO staff, who are just remarkable people, outstanding.
Well, and I think that your point is very well made, that we need to bear in mind that these folks have been working nonstop since the beginning of the last regularly scheduled session, and they haven't had a break through all of the special sessions. They did what we asked them, which was often outrageous and way beyond the call of duty. And I think we do need to recognize the incredible contribution that they're making still.
Don't leave town.
Don't retire. And with that, Mr. Bender, do you have anything else to add on the schedule?
No, I don't. If there aren't any questions, I'll turn it over to Ms. Jones.
Let's then open the work session on House Bill 5047, the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. And this is, go ahead, open it up.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Cindy Jones. We'll start out with the technical adjustments for the Board of Psychologist Examiners. The technical adjustments came to a total of $29,461. For inflation, it was $3,605. The merit increases came to $14,616. Attorney general rate adjustment was $10,814. And the Department of Administrative Services assessment was $426. Vacancy savings, the board's director position, recruitment closed on May the 2nd, and they'll begin interviewing on June the 6th. That position hasn't been filled.
Questions or comments on the technical adjustments or the vacancies? Are there any objections to the technical adjustments or the vacancies?
Madam Chair, it's always struck me as kind of strange. Aren't we seeing a lot of executives leaving these agencies right now? Is that like everyone comes up for this is my last day, I'm out of town. Is it the first thing or Clint's thing?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, in this case, I think the director quit prior to the PERS announcement. I believe it was last November.
December. This is about the third or fourth board we've seen an agency heads leaving?
It could be more. Just the way the planets are lined up.
That's weird. Are they leaving the state? I want to know.
I would imagine that there are a number of reasons, but I would suspect that PERS plays into a number of the decisions.
It does.
It may be also sort of an age cohort effect where people reach the directorship at sort of the end of their careers.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree with that.
So. Strange.
You have that there are other assessments that are coming forward at a later date. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Madam Chair, the PERS adjustment would come in, and as well as audits division. We've already received the DAS assessment.
Okay, and so these will be in the gigantic reconciliation bill that will roll out when all this information becomes apparent.
Madam Chair, that's my understanding.
And could we have a discussion on no policy packages?
There were no policy packages requested in this budget.
That makes that one easy. Could you give us your recommendation for the amendment to the appropriations bill?
LFO recommends the approval of this budget bill in the amount of $634,457 and 2.5 FTE, and amend Senate Bill 5047. to delete 600 on line 5, section 1, delete $663,918 and insert the $634,457.
Is there any discussion on the LFO recommendation or any questions on the recommendation? I will accept a motion to approve the budget of the Board of Psychologists Examiners as modified and amend line 5 of House Bill 5047 to $634,457.
So moved.
Jinx!
You guys just take turns.
Okay. Okay. Ava, you can do it next time.
Okay.
Okay, Tootie will get it this time.
I feel like a mother.
Mom, would you take care of the kids?
It's no fair, Mom. The kids won't let me play.
Yeah. Representative Smith has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. Okay, we have the recommendation on the performance measures.
The agency performance measures can be found on page C9 of the Governor's Balanced Budget Binder, and LFO recommends approval of those performance measures as submitted by the agency.
A discussion on the performance measures.
Madam Chair,
Senator Gordon,
if we could have the agency come forward, I have a question regarding Senate Bill 155.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For the record, my name is Steve McConnell. I'm the chairman of the Board of Psychologists Examiners. I have with me Kathy Mann, who is the acting administrator.
Thank you. Senator Gordley.
Thank you. Mr. McConnell or Ms. Mann, would you tell us about Senate Bill 155 and about the Dash 2 amendments and what they would require in that measure?
Senator Gordley, members of the committee, The Practice Act, as it currently exists, the act in which we operate under, has been unclear with respect to the way the board deals with so-called service extenders, people that I'm a CPA, not a psychologist, and these would be people that I would consider essentially technical but not licensed psychologists in this case. Those people administer examinations, which are then interpreted by psychologists. It's not been clear to the board, the way the language exists, as to whether those people, in fact, had to be licensed psychologists. In other words, whether licensed psychologists could use those kinds of folks. There's been an amendment to the bill that we originally put in, which adds the sentence, the practice of psychology also includes delegating the administration and scoring of tests to technicians qualified by and under the direct supervision of a licensed psychologist. That seems pretty clear to me that allows for the use of these extenders. Furthermore, it then allows the board to write rules which further clarify the nature of the supervision and qualification that those people have to have, and the fact that they're clearly operating under the license of the psychologist, so the psychologist's license is on the hook if something goes wrong. That's a technical term. So at any rate, the board has been struggling with this, and this would appear to be language which would resolve that issue.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I would tell you that Representative Barnhart, who is a psychologist, and I have both been working with psychologists in our district who have been seeking that kind of language or inclusion in statute. And Representative Barnhart and I struck an agreement that if we were able to move forward with a bill, then we might not need to go with a budget note that laid out the issue and the problem, so to speak. So I'm very comfortable that with the inclusion of the Dash 2 amendments, we're addressing what we'll call an omission we're including.
We're addressing an issue which the board has struggled with and is trying to resolve.
Okay.
Very specifically in the statute, which is helpful to the board.
Right, and we're doing that in a way that also allows us to put on record today that's how we're moving forward. And, Madam Chair, we just need to make sure the bill passes. Senate Bill 155 with the -2 amendments.
Which we would very much like, since it's originally our bill. The amendment wasn't our amendment, but we're obviously not objecting to it.
It's the bill, I believe, is in our Ways and Means Committee, our full Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. Along with everything else.
And I think you have a clear statement of intent on the record, Senator.
Yes. Thank you. And thanks to Representative Barnhart as well.
Okay. Any questions or comments on any of this? Let's keep moving ahead. Is there any more discussion on the performance measures? Could we have the LFO recommendation on the performance measures?
LFO recommends approval of the performance measures as submitted by the agency.
Any discussion on the LFO recommendation? I'll take a motion to approve the performance measures as submitted.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley has moved. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is carried. Let's have a discussion of the ending balance.
The ending balance in the 2003-05 governor's balanced budget was $180,907, or 6.8 months worth of ending balance. When the LFO reductions take place or are taken into consideration, the ending balance then would be $210,368, or 8 months worth of expenditures. At any one time in the last biennium, the lowest ending balance was $77,319, or 2.9 months. And the board collects their revenue once a year in December.
So this appears to be somewhat on the high end.
Madam Chair, by 2 months at the high end, of considering 6 months.
Okay.
If we went 3 to 6 months as usual.
But
any discussion? Representative March.
I noticed the lowest ending balance, though, is 77.
Yeah, is only 2.9 months.
Yeah.
So they actually...
Might not hurt to give them a little cushion.
Well...
Is that the projected, though?
Pardon me?
Is that... The projected lowest, that's the lowest ending from above.
That's just before their renewal revenues start coming in.
Well, it'd be dangerous to go much lower than that, I think.
Any discussion?
I'm wondering if the agency has a perspective they would want to share regarding the ending balance.
Senator Gordley, members of the committee, this has been a difficult issue for us, but I would suggest that the ending balance would appear to be slightly, quote, end quote, high, because we have functioned one person short for approximately 6 months, which does have an impact on what we have left over. I would also agree with Representative March in that we have very little revenue from the end of the biennium until we start collecting in November, and so in fact we get down to a much lower level than the biennium ending balance reflects.
Quick follow up. Did you have a follow up, Senator?
I'm fine. That's very helpful.
Sorry. Yeah. Representative Smith.
It indicates you on my front page here we have 2.5 FTE. Are you currently running at 2.5 FTE? Because you said you were down one.
Representative Smith, we're currently not running at 2.5 FTE because we're working with an acting administrator and a temporary person on a part-time basis in order while we're waiting to hire our new administrator.
Okay, and then the new administrator will hire.
We'll bring us back up to 2.5 FTE.
Okay, and then that new administrator will hire another permanent person to replace your temp. Is that what you expect?
Well, when we have effectively been functioning without an admin. We started out with 2.5 FTE. We lost a person. Okay, the temporary person is not full time. So. I'm guessing, Kathy, we're at what, two or less?
For the record, my name is Kathy Mann. I am the acting interim administrator. Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, we are currently functioning at about 1.5 to 2 employees. We have a half-time temporary person, and I am doing the administrative assistant position and the acting director position, and we have a half-time investigator also.
If I could just ask for clarification in terms of the amount of money that you have budgeted for salaries in your current configuration of employees. Is the money that's going to pay for the situation that exists right now less than it will take to pay for bringing the agency up to the full 2.5?
That is correct.
Okay. So we can assume then that when the director position is filled, that we'll see your cash flow reflect that, and that your balances on month end will decrease because there'll be more going into payroll costs.
That is correct.
Representative Bates.
Just another point, Madam Chair. In these very small budgets, small number of FTEs, they have very little flexibility. And that's potentially a serious problem. They get one tough case that takes a lot of time and effort, one serious complaint, and they're going to blow through this budget really fast. And these people are on a real tight margin. Board of Medical Examiners may have $7 or $8 million that can handle something like that. This is such a small amount of money, it's such a small staff, that I am a little concerned that the last thing we do is cut them short in the budget, because you'll be back to e-board saying, we got a problem. And I think we should leave you about where you're at. Plus, you're going through transition. So I think a little caution here on the side of leaving them left to balance is probably appropriate. Mm-hmm.
I concur. Also, I think that when the director position is filled, that they're going to be well within the range that LFO recommends. Senator Mesrick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to say that the board is not asking for a fee increase this time, so I think they feel they can handle it for this coming biennium. But I think the subcommittee next session is probably up to take a very serious look at whether they can continue.
Right. So is there any objection on the committee to leaving the ending balance situation in the agency as it exists right now and not changing it? Okay. Now, do we need to move this one to vote? Yes.
Do you need a motion on ending balance?
No. I would accept a motion to move House Bill 5047 to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a do-pass recommendation.
So moved.
Representative Smith has moved. Is there discussion on the motion?
Okay.
Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carriers, Representative Smith, can I rely on you again?
Yes,
for full?
Yes.
We don't need carriers on this because we're going to do it all.
Oh, because we're going to roll it all.
Oh, okay.
Even better.
Okay.
Lift it off your shoulder.
I will close the work session on House Bill 5047 and open the work session on House Bill 5026, and we have a technical correction on the Board of Dentistry. Do we have that?
I didn't bring mine.
Paperwork.
I didn't either.
Did
we miss something?
I did not bring it. I have it. Yeah. I can give an explanation.
Could we perhaps then go ahead and do the veterinarians and have that copied off and then come back around and do that?
Yes.
I think the members would be more comfortable. Can we get someone to come from LFO and take that and get it copied off?
We can. If anybody from LFO can hear me now, if you could come and get copies.
Anybody who needs a fast run down the hall to get their blood working and wake up, we could use a run.
What were you want me to do?
Oh, Steve, thank you.
That's good.
Go down to LFO and copy those.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
That's what I'm here for.
Okay, and we will proceed with the Veterinary Medical Examining Board.
Okay, starting with technical adjustments with the Veterinary Medical Examining Board, technical adjustments reduced the budget by a total of $5,051. Inflation was $4,808 reduction. Merit increases actually increased to $2,844, and this merit increase was due to one position that's being budgeted at a lower classification but being paid at a higher rate than the budgeted amount. Attorney General assessments came to a reduction of $2,628. The Department of Administrative Services assessment was $459, and again for a total adjustment of $5,051.
With relation to the merit increase, there is an increase in that department, and it's due to one position being budgeted at a lower classification and paid at a higher rate than the budgeted amount. Could we have the department come forward and explain to us what's going on there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Madam Chair and members, for the record, I'm Lori Mackinnon, Director of the Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and what actually happened is that the position, for position management reasons, it was moved into out of unrepresented classified into executive service. It's actually the same position, but there's a higher rate of pay in executive service than there is in classified unrepresented. Because as an executive service position, it serves at the pleasure of. I mean, I'm assuming that that's why it pays a little more, is because there's less job security.
So was this a DAS reclassification?
DAS approved it. There's a policy that says every executive director or agency head should have an executive service support person. And for a number of reasons, but primarily because we deal with a lot of confidential issues. And as my only support person, I felt I needed to have somebody that I could have flexibility with if things didn't work out, rather than go through what had been a rather long and drawn-out process to deal with some disciplinary issues.
Follow-up, Representative Smith?
I'm kind of unclear. Have you had problems with this position before to make you want to do it as an executive position?
Chair Morgan and members, when the position moves into executive service, it becomes an at-will position. In other words, it's not represented
By unions.
By unions. Mm-hmm. And it's like if it doesn't work out, then there's a manager doesn't have to go through progressive disciplinary steps. It can just be a termination.
So you didn't answer my question. Had you had trouble before?
Yes, I had.
Do you have a follow-up?
No.
Okay, we have the technical adjustments to the budget. Are there any further questions on the technical adjustments? Are there any objections to the technical adjustments? Let's go ahead and move on then and talk about vacancies.
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, there were no vacancies for the subcommittee to review with this board.
Questions on vacancies? Pretty straightforward. Let's go ahead and talk about policy packages.
Policy packages, there were two policy packages. One The first request was for an expenditure limitation for attorney general fees to $4,000. The board's had a problem with one individual case for a number of years where they revoked the license of a veterinarian, and it's gone to the appellate level and now to the Supreme Court. They need to increase their fees for this. They had requested $4,000. Our LFL recommendation is to unschedule an amount of $3,596, which would be the current AG cost, and that way they would have give them the expenditure limitations and they can unschedule it until it's necessary to have.
So we had, I think, extensive testimony during the budget presentation on the issue that was being litigated. And what this does is give them increased money to pay their legal fees as this moves up the litigation ladder. But, again, unscheduling it so the money can be dispersed as the need arises. Any questions or comments on that policy package? Let's go ahead and do the other one.
The next package is an increase in expenditure limitation to support adding a veterinarian technician to the board. It's subject to the passage of Senate Bill 203, and it's in A enrolled. That package, LFO recommendation is to approve the package and unschedule the $3,433. And if Senate Bill 203A passes, the board doesn't need to ask for additional limitation.
Okay, questions or comments on this policy package? The are there any objections to either of these policy packages? Let's go ahead then with LFO's recommendation.
LFO recommends approve the budget in the amount of $487,376 and a 2.25 FTE by amending House Bill 5026 to delete $492 on line 21 of Section 10, $492,831 in Section 10, line 21, and replace it with $387,376.
Are there any questions on the LFO recommendation?
Sure.
Senator Masery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I assume this does not include the PERS adjustment.
That is correct.
The previous. Thank you.
I'll accept a motion to approve the budget of the Veterinary Medical Examining Board as modified and amend line 21 of House Bill 5026 to $487,376.
So moved.
Senator Gordley has moved. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is carried. Let's talk about our, we have an other funds expenditure limitation issue.
During 2001-03, the board found out that they needed to have an increase in their expenditure limitation due to the case that I spoke about earlier with the veterinarian that had his case that went to appeal and now it's going to the Oregon Supreme Court. They ran out of funds to, they had the money, but they just don't have the limitation to pay for that, as well as some unemployment that an individual was let go from the board, an employee, and they ended up having to pay some unemployment expense. And so I've got the verbiage here to insert a new section into the bill to increase the limitation by $21,982. This is for 0103.
Is there discussion on inserting this new section to increase their expenditure limitation? The chair would accept a motion to amend House Bill 5026 to increase the 0103 other funds expenditure limitation of the Veterinary Medical Examining Board by $21,982.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Smith. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion is carried.
The performance measures, I listed 1 through 6, and I also attached them. This was a supplement to the budget binder that we received during the public hearing. They had 6 performance measures, and LFO recommends that you approve the performance measures as submitted by the agency.
And once again, members, the performance measures are attached to the back of the packet because mm-hmm. they weren't available when we did our presentation. Is there any discussion on the performance measures? Mm-hmm. Could I have a motion to approve the performance measures as submitted?
So moved.
Senator Gordley moves. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Motion is, having no objection, the motion is carried. Ending balance.
The ending balance in the 2003-05 governor's balanced budget was $347,344, or 17 months worth of expenditure. When the budget reductions recommended by LFO were taken into consideration, the balance then was $420,452, or 21 months. The lowest monthly ending balance was $63,156, or 3 months. We do have a budget note, and I think I've attached it into your packet, that would direct the department to work with the Department of Administrative Services and Legislative Fiscal Office to determine a revised fee schedule that would reduce the fees to an appropriate level in order to bring the ending balance more in line with the 3 to 6 months reserve, which is normally recommended.
Question? Before, could we have the director discuss for the committee with the implications of the court case that you have and the increased legal costs, what the issues are relating to the level of the ending balance? I mean, what I'm trying to get at here is it prudent to reduce the ending balance in light of the litigation issues?
Chair Morgan and members, I think that we would like to have the option of reducing fees, which is, I think, what we're proposing to do. Is we're not really reducing them. We're proposing to waive them, certain fees, not the veterinary license fees. The board and the professional organization both feel that at $100 a year, lowering that fee would be somewhat deprofessionalizing. We're already we're the lowest fees in the country right now. But if we waive fees for the lower paying positions, veterinary technicians, and then we have the euthanasia task force, which is entirely volunteer, and we charge them, the agencies, about $25 a year and the technicians $10 a year. So that we can waive those and help to reduce the balance. But I think your question is a good one, but I think that we should have the flexibility to waive what fees we can as we watch how this case progresses. And I would say that it has exhausted all of the administrative remedies, and the licensee has now filed a civil suit for, I have to do the math really quickly. It's kind of a confusing suit also. It's either $8 million or $15 million against one of the complainants and me. And so we're expecting that that suit will be dismissed, but given this licensee's history, she will then have the option of appealing it further through the civil process. So, I certainly hope it doesn't continue to do this, but I think we can still waive some fees without jeopardizing the balance to the point where we wouldn't be able to continue to defend against this license.
So is the budget note something that you view favorably?
Waiving the fees? Yes.
No, asking that revised fee schedule be determined over the interim, with you working in conjunction with DAS and LFO to reduce fees to an appropriate level to bring your ending balance more in line with the 3 to 6 month reserve that's normally recommended.
Madam Chair, members, yes.
Representative Smith, you have a question.
I have a couple of concerns. Number one, I agree with you about the $100 license fee for veterinarians. I think that should stay there. Although techs don't make that much money, that would be okay, and maybe some of your volunteer things. I'm extremely concerned about this lawsuit and other lawsuits that could follow. I never considered veterinarians something that people were so happy over. First of all, I apologize to the chair. I was gone when we had this discussion, so I'm not going to belabor it. I am concerned about a 3-6 month reserve in this case for this board. because of the possibility of lawsuits. I hope this language isn't a mandatory thing. I'm hoping they can be flexible. So that's my only concern about the budget note.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, one thing we could look at in this is that if the fees start, or excuse me, the limitation is at all in jeopardy, they could go back to the e-board to ask for more limitation if those lawsuits come forward. This way we could still keep the limitation or the any balance within 3 to 6 months, and they could still come forward and request more at that time that it's needed.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
I share Representative Smith's concerns here. Coming forward and asking for an increased limitation if the money's already gone is not going to help in the middle of a lawsuit.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you have to go back out to the vets and say we need a $25 surcharge or something, I suppose, to get the money back in to defend a lawsuit. If you know you've got a lawsuit on board, those are usually fairly expensive. Again, it's a small budget to start with. I just have some concerns here that you not cut yourself short. When you know you've got something going on, I don't consider veterinarians litigious, but
this one is.
All it takes is one, and you've got a problem. So, my memory is this is an out-of-state thing. It was kind of weird, and I can't remember ins and outs of it. But I'm just a little concerned here that they not get carried away with trying to bring it into 6 months.
I'm wondering, because part of what we need to do is to make sure that the ending balances are within what's fiscally prudent. If it may not be something that we should consider to add some language into this budget note, mm-hmm. that when they consider the 3 to 6 month reserve issue, that they also consider the cost of the ongoing litigation.
I would be, Madam Chair, I would be very comfortable with that because I do not want to set them up for a dire financial situation that, you know, that we could be liable for.
Senator Mazur.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just curious. Do you have any challenges that you're aware of that could be coming forth within the next year or two? Complaints or issues that could develop into another lawsuit?
More than the
Madam Chair and members, funny you should mention that. we have a situation with an applicant where there has been a threat of a lawsuit.
Could you speak further into
that? We have an applicant that has a history which requires an investigation. We have a statute that says a felony conviction on its face is sufficient grounds to deny an application, but because of some other decisions, recently the Dearborn decision particularly, it's more difficult. You have to directly connect the felonious or whatever conduct with a threat if the person were to become licensed. So this individual has made it clear that this individual is already represented by an attorney in the application stage, which is very unusual. So,
I'm sure going to follow up. I think in this kind of a situation, they need to have all the flexibility we can give them.
Yes. I agree.
I think if we your recommendation is.
Well, that we allow them to build their reserves or have the reserves to cover these potential so that they don't get caught. The worst case scenario would be to get involved in something like this and run out of money.
Mr. Olson, could I have you step forward and give us an additional piece of information here?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee. Just a point
for
of clarification.
Record, if you would.
Excuse me?
For the record.
Oh, excuse me. I'm Rick Olson, Legislative Fiscal Office. I want to be sure the subcommittee understood that each state agency pays for liability insurance, And as part of that liability insurance, that covers the costs of any lawsuits that agency may be involved in and the litigation costs. So the agency would not pay directly any damages or litigation costs for a lawsuit.
Follow-up. Representative Smith.
How much is the deductible, and what is the possible scenario that once a lawsuit is paid out, their insurance rates will go up?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, again, this is a premium that's paid to the Department of Administrative Services. The state is self-insured. There is no deductible, and the rate is set across all state agencies. And I can get you more detail from DAS on that if you'd like. But I don't believe that the insurance rate the agency pays is directly related to the loss in this kind of a case.
Right. My only concern about this is they have enough money to, because we have some real touchy areas coming up. And I just think it would be bad policy going back to the budget note if we were to ask them to spend down their balance. I know it's a very high balance. And then have them be in the situation of having to scuttle around and go back and hurry and raise fees to cover that. I think there's too many unknowns in this particular situation. I just feel kind of uncomfortable. I agree with Senator Mesrick.
Let me seek some clarification then. Would there be circumstances under which the agency would be using the fees that were put, the money that generated this cash flow here to in litigation situations? Is there a possibility of any of the money that we're talking about here in relation to the ending balance issue having to go to pay legal costs?
Madam Chair, again, the cost of investigating a complaint and the cost of disciplining a licensee would be borne by the agency. So if the agency, for instance, proposed to revoke a license and the licensee decided to appeal the decision to the Court of Appeals and was not ruled upon favorably for the licensee, and then, as in this case, decided to go to the Supreme Court, the agency would bear the costs of defending that action.
So the insurance policy doesn't cover the appeal of this to the Supreme Court?
That's correct. But in the case of a lawsuit, as the executive director mentioned, suing her personally as an employee of the board, the liability insurance does cover that.
In the case of where they have an application coming in where there are issues that will need to be investigated because of the information on the application, those will also be costs that will be borne by the agency?
That's correct. And I might, just as a point of clarification, I could make a commitment to the subcommittee that as the agency works with LFO and DAS and takes a look at this during the interim, we are not going to recommend any changes to a fee structure that is going to put the agency in jeopardy of running out of money. We're not going to do that, and I can give you my assurance on that.
Okay, Senator Messerly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me get clear in my own mind another aspect of this, though, and I would appreciate input from the department. And that is that when you get these kind of things going on, you've got your legal fees and your preparations for that, which can, just the preparations and the dealing with it within the office can be a huge drag on the staff. If they're going to conduct their normal business, is my guess, and in my past business life, I know how this works. You can just bury yourself and make it very difficult to continue with your normal operations. And so I'm sure that is not covered by insurance. And there might be, my guess is that there'd be times when they might need to bring on additional temp help or part-time help just to keep the operation rolling. Maybe I'm way off base. I might response.
And I would assume, Senator, that all of those issues would be considered as this discussion took place about the ending balance levels. And that I would, that's why I'm interested in putting language in there, that the legal issues be considered when the issue is surfaced. Representative Martin.
Actually, Mr. Olson pre-answered my question.
So okay.
That they took everything into account.
Are there any other questions or requests from Mr. Olson before we turn him loose to get back to his work that we interrupted him on? Thank you very much. We really appreciate you coming and helping us out here. We have a proposal for a budget note, and I would be asking to conceptually amend the budget note to add at the end of it, but with consideration to the cost to the agency of ongoing litigation. Or let's just say of litigation, because there are upcoming things. And so I would conceptually amend to say, but with consideration to the cost of litigation. That's fine. Is there...
Just at one point, I think to me intent was expressed today about the ending balance in relation to upcoming lawsuits. So I'm satisfied at this point. I'm satisfied DAS will manage this as we go through it.
Mm-hmm. Do we need a motion on the budget note?
Don't know. Don't know.
Let's make one. Yeah. Ignored if they want. I would accept a motion to add the budget note as conceptually amended to House Bill 5026.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Smith has made the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried.
I think we need to carry on the psychologist because it's a different bill number.
Oh, we are going to need
will,
carrier.
All the rest.
Well, wait a minute here. Let's. So the Board of Dentistry, we're going to wait for the grand motion, or rather on this bill, the medical examiners. We're going to wait for
referrals
to pull till we get the whole bill. Is that true? Correct.
For a carrier.
But do we need to make a recommendation to move this portion of House Bill 5026 to full with a due pass recommendation?
Not yet. We won't need a carrier until next Friday.
Okay.
Move all at once.
And then on the psychologist examiners, carriers, Representative Smith, would you carry this in full and mm-hmm. on the House floor?
Yes, ma'am.
And Senator Gourley, can I prevail upon you one more time?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, let's roll back and pick up the Board of Dentistry. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Members, there's a little story here behind us having to go back and look at the Board of Dentistry bill again. As you recall, I had made a motion, and in the middle of the motion being worked, Representative Bates made a comment on an issue that he wanted to have put on the record, and we neglected to go back and actually do the motion. So we're
my
back
fault,
again.
Right? Well,
always your fault. It's my fault.
No, it's my fault. I never went back.
Well, I just probably failed to drill down on this.
You left a hole in the...
And in the meantime, we have found a problem with a number not being taken off of the spreadsheet and put correctly in the policy packages. So we're going to have to go back and amend the motion and pass.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Are we in work session? Would you gavel us in?
Well, we actually never got out of work session on the veterinary medical examiners, and this is the same bill.
Oh.
It's just a different piece of it.
Sorry.
But thank you for
trying to keep it honest.
Ms. Jones.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, You'll notice for package number 133 in the information that I gave you, we included $55,691, which was unscheduled, which was the LFO approval for $55,691, unscheduled other funds limitation until expenditures necessitate the need for limitation. But what was not done is it was taken out of the spreadsheet and not included in the amount of limitation. So the correct limitation should read $1,702,059. And prior to that, I had in there $1,646,368.
Is there any questions on the technical adjustment? Are there any objections to the technical adjustment? That's good, because we'd be out of balance if we objected. Chair would take a motion to approve the budget of the Board of Dentistry as modified and amend line 6 of House Bill 5526 to read $1,702,059.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Senator Gordley has made the motion. Is there a discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Without objection, the motion is carried. And I remembered what your comments were. It was in relation to that bill.
Yeah, the minority. Oh, it's a minority thing.
Ownership levels. And with that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 1526. And if there are no further comments or bad puns, I'll adjourn this meeting, and we will reconvene on Monday morning at 8:30.